Well, I tend to think of the Gosling as a poem. The critical opening phrase of this poem will always be the grip, which the hands unite to form a single unit. Slowly and slowly, the club head is led back, pulled into position not by the hands, but by the body, which turns away from the target, shifting weight to the right side without shifting balance. Tempo is everything, perfection unattainable. As the body coils now to the top of the swing, there's a slight hesitation, a little nod to the gods. Now the weight begins shifting back to the left, pulled by the powers inside the earth. It's alive, this swing, a living sculpture, and down through contact, always down, striking the ball crisply, with character. There's only one other acceptable theory about how to hit a golf ball.
Oh, boy. Well, what's the other theory?
Grip it and rip it.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
7:03 Saturday morning of Masters weekend. Hi, it's Hardy. Sean Silver in here on headlines. Billy Lanny, our producer today, and you're welcome to join us throughout the program this morning with one notable exception. I'll give you the phone number. It's 617-779-0985. As I'm sure a few folks want to talk about the Masters. Later on in the show, Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe, who relatively new to the Globe but has been covering the Masters for years and has some great stories just from covering the Masters and also from being a woman covering the events down there in the stately confines of Augusta National. I don't know how much of that we're going to get to. We're going to try and keep it focused on the tournament here, but Tara's great, so we're going to be talking with her a little bit later in the show. So that'll be the only time when the phone lines won't be open for you, but want to welcome your calls at any point here as we get rolling on this Saturday morning. All Masters today, as the second round has wrapped up, and in case you didn't catch any of it, let's start with first things first here. Thursday and Friday, I found to be one of the more interesting first couple of days of this tournament because it seemed to me, for the first time in ever, people finally caught on to the fact that you could watch this tournament that the biggest knock about it for years was, I love the Masters, but you can't watch the damn thing. For years, Augusta National limited their coverage to back nine coverage on Saturday and Sunday. And they didn't want the additional exposure. They didn't need it. The gentlemen of Augusta have enough money. They didn't need the advertising dollars. Hell, during the controversies about women being admitted to the club, they went without commercials one year to kind of ward off any boycotts from the advertisers at the time, Travelers Insurance, Cadillac. And at that time, Augusta National said, you know what, while we're at it, let's go next year too. Sorry, I know you might want to buy the handful of commercials. You might want to buy that time during the broadcast. We're not going to have commercials next year either. And they passed the hat around the dining room at Augusta National to the members there like Bill Gates and Warren Buffett and whoever the hell else, you know, the secret membership roster there. It's billions of dollars. They don't need it. So they didn't need the coverage. Now, people have finally, I think as these secondary apps and things that people were afraid of, even a couple of years ago, seems like everybody was logged on and watching. We had it on multiple monitors here at the radio station on Thursday and Friday. Everybody seems invested, and there's a couple of reasons for it. Number one, Tiger Woods being back and playing and seemingly having a shot got a lot of people interested. The coverage itself through the Masters website and through their app is fantastic. They go with the featured group or they go with coverage at Amen Corner, holes 11, 12, and 13, and you can see what's going on and you can watch even when the tournament isn't quote-unquote on TV. And it was on ESPN for hours. And then starting today and tomorrow, you'll get CBS coverage and we'll get that fantastic limited commercial interruption, especially on Sunday, talking like 56 minutes an hour of pure coverage. 4 minutes of commercials, that's it. But people seem to be down with the idea that you can watch it in other ways, and a lot of people are watching already. And we'll get to the reason why they were watching. And the good news is, in case you don't know, Tiger Woods did make the cut. So he will be playing this weekend. The bad news is he is not going to win this golf tournament and he is not going to be in any kind of meaningful position to make a run on Sunday. Just accept that right now. It's not going to happen. Here's what the leaderboard looks like. Patrick Reed is your leader at 9 under par. He shot Gronk's favorite score in round one with a 69 and then backed it up with a 6 under par 66 yesterday to go to 9 under, two strokes ahead of Australian Mark Leishman, who carded a 70 and a 67. He's at 7 under par. Henrik Stenson, solid player. Not going to get anybody all worked up when it comes to watching him and getting excited about him. He's at 5 under. Then you've got the group of guys who I would all count in the same category as within striking distance, but this is where you get the group of players where if you're not a Patrick Reed fan, and believe me, he's got a lot of detractors out there, and we're going to get to that in our second segment here this morning. Or you don't care so much about Mark Leishman or Henrik Stenson, and I couldn't blame you. Leishman's a nice guy, but you don't know that much about him. Stenson is steady, but he's not the type of guy that's going to get you excited in watching golf, unless you're a huge, huge golf fan. So beyond those guys, we've got the guys at 5-6, and I'll go as high as 7 strokes off the lead going into round 3 that I say still have a chance. And this is the pack of players that people are going to be watching and hoping they can make a move. At 4 under par, you've got Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth. Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas are one stroke behind them at 3 under. Tony Finau, the guy who rolled his ankle, dislocated it, popped it out during the par 3 contest on Wednesday, popped it back in himself on the golf course. Everybody thought he was done. He was going to withdraw. He went out and shot a 68 on Thursday, backed it up with a 2 over par 74 yesterday. For the most part, probably played himself out of it, but he's still in there, and it's at least enough of a story where people are going to be watching him today and tomorrow. And you got Ricky Fowler, Justin Rose, Bubba Watson, Charlie Hoffman, a guy who won here at the Deutsche Bank Championship, now the Dell Technologies Championship a few years ago. All those guys at 2 under par, 7 strokes off the lead. Now, when it comes to Tiger, and we'll get to him a little bit more in a minute, he is going to need way more help than these other guys. But even Hoffman, Bubba Watson, Justin Rose, Louis Oosthuizen, Ricky Fowler, still looking for his first major championship. Anybody more than 5 strokes off the lead, and everyone I just mentioned, they're all 7 strokes behind Patrick Reed at this point. They're not only going to need to go low or low-ish today and tomorrow. They're going to need help from Patrick Reed, Henrik Stenson, anybody who's 5 strokes or more better than them at this point through 36 holes of the tournament. It's not going to be enough just to go out there and go low because these guys are all too good. They're all too consistent. And while they may be capable of blowing up from time to time, we saw it yesterday. You know, we saw Jordan Spieth jump out yesterday, go double, and then bogey on his first 2 holes. And I had it written. I literally had it written for my golf column, which goes live today on 98.5thesportshub.com, that Spieth played himself out of the tournament on the first 2 holes on Friday. Shows what an idiot I am. He makes one more bogey on the front, and then very calmly comes in 34 to shoot a 2 over par 74 for the day. And when you start the day at 6 under, that's not bad. You can live with that. Jordan Spieth can absolutely still win this golf tournament. He's at 4 under par. He's only 5 strokes off the lead. And the guy who's sitting up there on top is someone who hasn't won before. And I'm not the biggest Jordan Spieth guy in the world. I think he lacks a lot of charisma. And he lacks that something that gets me invested in him personally, watching him as a golf fan. But he knows how to win, and he's suffered through demons at Augusta National before. Let's not forget that Jordan Spieth is now the owner of what I will call the second worst meltdown, at least in my time watching at Augusta National, when he put 2 in the drink at Rays Creek back in 2012 when he was trying to win back-to-back green jackets, 2016. It is a huge lead on the back 9 on Sunday. Dumps one in the water on the short par 3, drops his ball, dumps another one in, tournament over. You know, and he came back last year and he played it just fine. He's going to be okay. He's going to hiccup now and then, but he hasn't had that big blow-up moment. Not anything like the one we saw, which now has the new title of being the biggest blow-up in Masters history. It has to be. I can't think of another blow-up that is going to eclipse what happened to the defending champion on Thursday. It was an absolute horror show. We're going to get to that, too. I want to finish off with the contenders and what I call the pretenders here. So we've listed the guys who I think have a shot at winning this thing. Going from Patrick Reed, who is at 9 under par. He's your leader. He's your 36-hole leader as they get ready to head out on the course a little bit later this morning. All the way down to the honorable mentions in terms of contenders, the guys like Justin Rose, Charlie Hoffman, Bubba Watson, all at 2 under par. Now, there's another group of very good players that go beyond that seven-stroke window that I've allotted them, that I'm going to call the pretenders. Guys who you think that might have a shot to win this thing, but they really don't. John Rahm. Bob Soucy's favorite golfer. John Rahm. He's at 1 under par. He's eight strokes off of Patrick Reed right now. But he needed a 32 on the back nine on Friday to get within eight shots of that. So if he can keep that up, fine. But he's not going to. Not going to be able to keep that lights out type of play. And again, once again, it's not, you're not playing in a vacuum. The other guys who are in front of you are presumably going to hold steady at worst and only drop a stroke or two. So unless he can card a bunch more 32s on the front or back nines on Saturday and Sunday, it's not going to happen for John Rahm. Matt Kuchar, love him, nice guy. He's eight strokes off the lead. He's not going to win. Zach Johnson, same thing. And then you get the fan favorites, Vijay Singh, Freddie Couples, and Tiger Woods. Vijay probably not a fan favorite, but old guys like to see old guys win. Vijay's one over par. Freddie's two over par. Tiger Woods is at four over. He made it inside the cut line by one stroke. They've won here before. They know the greens like anybody else. It's too much. It's too much. This course is taxing mentally and physically. It's a damn sight hillier than you think it is walking around that place. Freddie Couples. Hell, I love me some Freddie Couples as much as the next guy. That back is going to turn to porridge by about the 15th hole today, and he's going to be all done. I love seeing Freddie play. I'll go see him any chance I get. Champions Tour events, anytime he's coming out to play, love him to death. He's not going to hang on. He's not going to come back from an 11-stroke deficit between him and the leader. And if you think Tiger Woods has a chance, regardless of what he said yesterday, and to show you that, I would love to see Tiger Woods win again. I think it's great for golf. I'm not even going to bother to play for you any of the Tiger Woods stuff this morning. Because even he knows. He says he's got to be special this weekend. Back-to-back rounds in the 60s. And even he knows 68-69 isn't going to get it done. He's got to have special rounds, 65, 66, and he said this yesterday, he's going to need help, meaning he's going to need guys to fall off. Both of those things happening, it's too much to ask. I'm happy that he's in the tournament. I'm happy that he's going to be playing this weekend. I'm happy we're going to get a chance to see Tiger Woods on the television this weekend at the Masters, but he's not going to win. The two things we got to get to are the leader and the defending champion, because to me, those are the two big stories coming out of the first two rounds. What happened to Sergio on Thursday and the situation that Patrick Reed finds himself in right now, holding the 36-hole lead, what that means at the Masters, and also going back in time a little bit, who is this Patrick Reed guy? Why is he not more embraced? Well, he's got a lot of detractors out there. He's got a guy who's written some stuff about him who we've had on the show in years past. We're going to get to all that as we continue here. And as I said, you're welcome to join us, 617-779-0985.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. Getting you ready to hit the links. It's the Sports Hub Golf Club with Hardy on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, I think the biggest highlight was kind of getting off to the start I did. Hitting three wood off the first. And, you know, it's a hole I've always loved to hit driver. I want to hit driver on the hole, but, you know, I've always gotten myself in trouble for it. And my wife always tells me it's a three wood. Hit three wood. And so I finally, I've listened to her. I've hit 3 wood, you know, both days. I put it down the middle of the fairway, and that front left flag, it's such a hard flag to get close to. And, I was able to kind of hit wedge just to the right of it, and probably about 15, 18 feet. And I think that was kind of the crucial point to make a putt like that, where it's double breaking, so speed sensitive. And, just kind of got my round started, and just kind of got that confidence and that kind of step that I needed going into the day.
Patrick Reed, he's your 36-hole leader at the Masters, 9 under par, 69, and then a 66, so he's alone in first place. And he put on a clinic with the putter. He was absolutely dead solid perfect on so many of his putts on Thursday and Friday. He's not slipping inside. He's not being the backdoor man. He was fine in the middle of the hole, and he was putting with confidence, and he was doing everything that you need to do to jump out to the early lead. And as he said, he was making some smart decisions off the tee, and sometimes it seems so easy, right? Okay, if you have a tendency to spray driver, and a lot of people get in trouble on number one at Augusta, including Tiger Woods, everybody, when he snap-hooked his drive on Thursday, guys were following him, like Jason Sobel from ESPN said, don't worry, Tiger always screws up the tee shot at Augusta. He always screws up the tee shot on number one. He didn't yesterday, but most days he does, so don't worry about it. Here's the other thing that Patrick Reed did. Again, seems really easy. Seems something that every PGA Tour player would have dialed in at this point. He played the par fives in 4 under on Thursday. Birdie, 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 birdie. 2, 8, 13, 15. That was on Thursday. On Friday, birdie, 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 birdie. He's played a par five in the 2018 Masters, like everybody else, 8 times, 2 on each side, 4 per round, 2 rounds, 8 under par, solid. Not making fives, not making sixes, which some guys have, not making any equals, but you don't have to. Most of these guys, when they walk away from a par five with 5 or more, they want to slit their own throats. Making par in a par five is like making a bogey anywhere else for these guys. They hate it. And tons of these dudes are making fives, especially on 13 and 15 yesterday. 15 was treacherous. And we'll get to more on the troubles at 15 here in a moment with regard to Sergio Garcia. But if Billy, if we could listen to the other, the second post-round comment from Patrick Reed yesterday, please.
It's Augusta National. This golf course is one of the best that we ever play. And, it's a place that with the history that's around Augusta and Augusta National, to be able to drive down Magnolia Lane and see, see just the perfect grass and really just the lush green fairways.
Does he not sound like Gene Hackman in the Birdcage? The rolling hills, green leaves, black highways. Talk about your purple mountains, Majesty. I was just so wrapped up in the senator's story. let's skip this one. Let's get to the good stuff with Patrick Reed. People don't
really just the lush green fairways. It's basically golf's heaven.
Okay. All right. Stop. Patrick Reed is a cheater and a thief. Whoa! This is the rub on Patrick Reed. Here's where your feel-good story from the weekend starts to go south. Why? Patrick Reed, this kid's a hell of a player. Bit of a chunky monkey, right? He's kind of an everyman. Bit of a swashbuckler. You see how he hits that cut shot? He does that helicopter follow-through. Guy looks like Arnold Palmer. Why didn't everybody love this guy? Oh, because a bunch of guys he played golf with thinks he cheated and stole money from one of them. Shane Ryan wrote a book called "Slaying the Tiger." I had him on the show a couple of years ago. Essentially, he wrote a book about replacing Tiger when it looked like Tiger was never really going to come back. And that's debatable, whether or not Tiger Woods will ever win again or win a major, whatever. But this Shane Ryan book came out in 2015, Slaying the Tiger, A Year Inside the Ropes on the New PGA Tour. He talks a lot about the young players. Not a huge fan of Patrick Reed, and he went around, he found some stories about Patrick Reed, and here's the most damning one. During a qualifying round prior to a tournament, according to sources, this is in college, Patrick Reed, your 36-hole leader at the Masters. Reed hit a ball far into the rough. When he approached the spot, he found another ball sitting closer to the fairway and was preparing to hit it when several of his teammates, not opponents, several of his teammates confronted him. Reed pled ignorance, but the other Georgia players were convinced he had been caught red-handed trying to cheat. That same fall, several items went missing from the Georgia locker room, including a watch, a Scotty Cameron putter, that's a soft $300 for people who don't know what Scotty Camerons are, and $400 in cash. Reed showed up the next day with a large wad of cash. Sources say a teammate confronted him and said, "How'd you get the money?" Said he played golf against a professor and hustled him out of the cash. The player in question took this claim to the professor, who had no idea what he was talking about, and it had been weeks since the man had played golf with Reed. No action was taken. However, Reed was dismissed from the team. We have some audio on that in a minute. And even now on tour, this is from a few years ago, Ryan wrote, a source told me there's a private joke among certain players when Reed enters a locker room, quote, "Hide your things, Patrick's here." Begins to explain why he's not the most well-liked guy or the most marketable guy. And look, he's salty. His own parents said they were worried about him when he was a kid. He had such a temper on him. He was hard on himself. To me, the stealing and cheating allegations are essentially just that. He was never proven to do either one thing. And when you talk about cheating in golf, I think there are other instances that are way more damning than somebody walking up to a ball in the rough, preparing to hit it, and then guys saying, "Hey, that's not your ball." If that's all you got, I am not impressed with that as a cheating allegation. That doesn't bother me. Reed, by the way, answered this a few years ago on the Golf Channel. And, well, I believe that is the long cut in there, if we could listen to the first part about that, when Patrick Reed was asked by an interview from the Golf Channel, what about this stuff that Shane Ryan wrote about you in that Slaying the Tiger book?
I'm all for someone writing a book, you know, about me or about anybody, as long as it's the right facts. You know, if it's telling the truth, and then I'm all for it. But, you know, to go out and say something that, you know, I stole and I cheated, you know, in college, and I was suspended for cheating. I got kicked out of school for this. I got kicked out of UGA. Everyone knows why I got kicked out of UGA.
Why did you get kicked out of UGA?
Because of two drinking incidents.
Okay. And on the record, that's what happened. He had a minor in possession. He had another drinking incident. Now, other kids in college get busted for drinking. They don't get kicked out of college for it. So there's a little bit of smoke there. But it's also no secret that he didn't get along with his teammates. Hey, you know what? It's not football. This isn't a hockey team. It's golf. And I have never been a good golfer, but have enough friends and played with enough guys who are good golfers who will tell you that sometimes the best players do not make the best teammates because it is such an individualized sport. You're so inside your own head. And after a while, it gets to you. A lot of guys thrive in that situation. It's such a lonely pursuit, and it is such a, you know, a solitary process that any chance of camaraderie and teamwork and that team atmosphere, they embrace. Other guys just don't know what to do with it. I think Patrick Reed is one of those guys who just doesn't know what to do with it. Now, I talked to Patrick Reed myself last fall at the Dell Technologies Championship. He was there with a couple other players. Harold Varner III, who is one of my favorite young guys on tour, and Patrick Reed. There was another player there, and they were doing a client event. They asked me to come in and host and kind of moderate a little panel discussion inside one of the hospitality tents before the tournament started last year. That's a Friday through Monday tournament, so we're there on Thursday. So I said to Patrick, I'm like, "Hey, Patrick, you seem to kind of march to your own drummer. What do you think about these guys out on tour, the, you know, Jordan Spieth, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. They're all such good friends and cheering each other on. It makes you sick, doesn't it? I said, no, I think it's great. I think it's great. I had guys out there supporting each other and happy for each other. What? You're not going to win every tournament. You can't be happy for one of your buddies? I was so disappointed in his answer. I practically tried to beat it out of him. Like, come on, you of all people don't feel that way. I said, no, I'm fine with it. So he's either trying to make up for his past where he was, quote unquote, not a good teammate, or he's really come around and kind of feels that way and says, no, it's not that big of a deal. People do mellow a little bit with age. He's still a young guy, but if you walk around with the same pee and vinegar that you have in your body when you're 19 years old, when you're 27, then, yeah, you're probably going to run into all kinds of issues. Very quickly here, before we step aside, Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe is going to be joining us live from Augusta here in just a few minutes. We got to talk about what happened to Sergio Garcia, your defending Masters champion, a guy who years ago I anointed as the best player who would never win a major, finally broke through, won the green jacket last year. Here he is on Thursday, defending his title, makes the turn. He's on the back nine. He gets to 15. And it wasn't the undoing of the round. It wasn't the undoing of the hole. It was one shot that he could not hit. There are sequences online. You can see it all over the place. Five balls into the water, all from the same spot. He laid up on 15. He's trying to hit a pitch shot into the green. The ball wouldn't hold. It was... Everyone's made the tin cup analogy because it's perfect. The only difference is when he finally got one to stick on the green, it didn't roll into the hole. He actually had to go up there and finish. Five balls into the water. Absolutely ended his tournament. One shot that he couldn't hit time after time after. I do not have enough game to explain even to myself how he could not figure out to not put so much action on the ball. Why everyone else seemed to be able to get it to hold, at least after the first time. Other guys went into the water that day, but from that pin position, but managed to figure out the second time. Why Sergio couldn't do it, I do not know. The worst part for Sergio is he cannot tuck tail and run away. He's got to stick around. He missed the cut by 10 shots, minimum. He's got to stick around all weekend long and put the green jacket on the winner on Sunday. Sucks for Sergio. And is going to go down as the biggest meltdown in Masters history. Rory McIlroy off the team. Well, you know what? We'll ask Tara Sullivan about that. She's at Augusta. She was covering Rory back in 2011 when he had the lead on Sunday and snap-hooked one off the tee on the back nine. Is it that? Is it what Jordan Spieth did a couple of years ago? Or is it Sergio? We'll talk with Tara from the Globe, who's live at Augusta, next.
This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. This is the Sports Hub Golf Club. Now, here's your host, Hardy.
So we're back on, huh? All right. We're arguing about Patrick Reed in the back room. We're not going to do that anymore. Instead, we're going to welcome in Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe, live at Augusta. Tara, thanks for taking some time on this Saturday morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
It's great to talk to you. I'm doing well. We were just going through the ups and downs of the first couple rounds here. And before we talk about the leader, Patrick Reed, I kind of teased our time together by saying, you know, Tara, I think you were there when Rory had his collapse on the back nine about 7 years ago. We all know what happened to Jordan Spieth a couple of years ago. And then you've got Sergio on the 15th hole on Thursday. In terms of Masters meltdowns, how do you rank those three?
Oh, what a good question. I would not include the Sergio one only because, he wasn't on the cusp of winning again. And I think mentally he was in such a good place having won last year that it almost seemed okay, you know. I still think for me it's got to be McIlroy. I don't know. I think that one was just so awful and so hard to watch, and the fact that he hasn't won it. You know, even when Spieth has his again, he had already won a Masters. So I think poor Rory, that one still, until he wins the Masters, that one it's just hard to even remember.
You know
it's
what, Tara, you just changed my mind in 30 seconds, like a complete flip-flop, because you're right, Jordan
really?
Spieth, well, Jordan Spieth had already won, and while that was awful what happened to him on 12, it's not like everything was on the line. Sergio, there was nothing on the line. It was the 15th hole of the first round.
Sergio just tweeted like, my Masters is over, but looking forward to giving off the green jacket on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for Rory, that's the one that's still missing from his career slam.
For sure. And I think it was so expected to be this coronation. You know, I just wrote that today. Like, that was supposed to be Rory's day. He had been in such control for those 3 days, and it was all we were talking about. And it was just, to even think about it, hitting the cabin, and, it was just such a spectacular meltdown. It really was. And he couldn't even bring it together after, you know, he could have maybe saved himself even after that, but it was such a bad hole. He couldn't pull it back, you know.
Yeah.
And it's something he has not really come close to, even though he's finished as high as fourth or whatever at the Masters. You know, he really hasn't contended to that degree again until now, I think. I mean, I really think I personally think he's in great position this year, right now, and in a very good mental place from what I'm watching and listening to in the couple days here. So, you know, I think he's a really strong contender over these 2 days.
Well, let's talk about that now. Tara Sullivan with the Boston Globe, live at Augusta. Patrick Reed, of course, is the leader at 9 under par, and he was really solid in those first two rounds. Of the guys who I did in my own column today, kind of, you know, included everybody within 7 strokes of the lead in terms of the contenders, who among them do you like best? And if it's not Patrick Reed, that's okay, because there's a lot of golf left.
There is a lot of golf left, yeah. I mean, we're ready for moving day anyway, so today should be an awful lot of fun. Okay, so me personally, I probably would still stick with Rory first, but after that, I would say Spieth, only because I don't mean to discount Reed. I just think experience and having won majors sometimes does come into such play at the Masters. And Spieth clearly feels so comfortable on this course. And even him yesterday, with such a terrible, terrible start, he was able to, again, pull himself back from the brink and really, you know, get himself back on solid footing yesterday with Spieth. So I'd probably go Spieth 1, Rory 1A, if it were me.
Okay, and it's odd when you say it too, and you know, you have to remind yourself that Rory doesn't have that green jacket, because I swear I can see it in my mind's eye of him wearing the jacket. I can see him standing around the 18th on a Sunday in the fading light with the flash bulbs. But no, it's an invention.
No.
It's never happened, and it is something that is odd for a player of his caliber to not have it yet.
It is, and it's hard. It's hard for him, I think. That's a part of it that's hard to think about, because he was so close and because he wants it so bad. I mean, they all want it so bad. I'm not discounting anybody else, but a guy like Spieth, you know, who grew up much the same, you know, dreaming of winning that title. I mean, these golfers do. They dream of winning the Masters. Yes, they want majors. They want it all, but they really do. What's the putt you imagine winning on the 18th? So is the Masters, because it's the same place. It's the same course, you can envision it in your mind's eye. So I think we've all done that. Rory, it just seems like he should have a Masters. He's got 4 other majors. He's, you know, he fits the golf course. His game fits the course so well. He's got the perfect personality for it. You just can't imagine, you know, 20 years from now, him not having that lifetime exemption,
right?
You know, because he just seems like he does belong there. But all that being said, I think that's why this year I feel a little bit differently. He just seems so perfectly able to sort of embrace all of that baggage, if you will, and not be burdened by it, but just seems like he's ready to win. I mean, it's been 10 Masters for Rory, which I shook my head when they introduced him that way in the media room, saying, my God, he's been here 10 years already. Like, you know, it seems like he's still one of those kids walking in for the first time. So, you know, I feel like
I know.
Maybe his time is here. I'd like to see it. I think it would be a great story.
Okay, so Tara Sullivan, Boston Globe, live at Augusta. Great stories. You wrote about Tiger in the first day, and it was wonderful what you wrote about how the, you know, just the atmosphere is different with him, even just from walking from the clubhouse to the first tee. And a lot of people were watching these first couple of days for Tiger. Now, he made the cut, and he's going to be there, but he's not going to win this. So what I need you to do is is convince the people listening, and even me a little bit right now, that I should remain exciting and interested should either Mark Leishman or Henrik Stenson end up leading this thing and winning it on Sunday. Because of the two that I consider contenders, these are the two that I have the most trouble convincing myself I'm going to get all bunged up for.
It's hard. I mean, listen, you know, why on Sunday when Rory lost did I write about him and not, you know, Charles Schwartzel who won that year?
Right.
I get it. Right. I understand. All I can promise people is to, no matter what, you got to watch this leaderboard. My goodness, those first two leaders don't have a major, but look at what's behind them. We didn't even mention Justin Thomas. You know, we barely mentioned Justin Thomas. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are legitimate. I get it. Maybe not as, you know, if sexy is the right word, but they all have great stories. And for me, that's what I'm always about. What's the good story? I mean, Leishman was at this tournament a couple years ago when he had to leave because his wife was in critical condition. You know, like, a guy with great perspective. You know, Stenson, yeah, I'm with you. I'm not, but I mean, he's a great golfer. You
know? Nice, nice guy, I guess. I don't know.
You know, but the Masters has a magic all its own, doesn't it? So,
yes.
I don't know. You kind of always have to watch for who's going to put it in the water at the corner and who's going to have a Spieth-like meltdown. You know, it's just, it's so good regardless. I get it. The excitement will ratchet up a little bit when one of those, you know, somebody, if it's a first-time guy, either way, there's usually a very exciting element. So that, if it's Leishman, like, the first-time winners, to me, have a little brand of excitement all their own.
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot still to keep you interested.
Well, and for that reason, I know he's 7 strokes off the lead, but I would love to see Ricky Fowler make a move today on this moving day. And Tara, I
believe that one for a second. I am with you, but there's no chance Ricky Fowler's winning the Masters.
Hold on a second here, because first of all, I think moving day happened early this year. I think yesterday was moving day. I think today,
I would agree with that.
I think you're going to see a lot less movement. And conditions-wise, which is my final question for you, what are they telling you? And when it does come down to these guys needing to play within themselves, I think Fowler is one of those players who can kind of, you know, just keep it between the lines.
That's what it's going to take.
Yes.
It's going to take horrible weather, lightning strikes, and for Ricky Fowler to win, never mind a major, to come through with a great Sunday performance. I love Ricky Fowler. He's one of the nicest people on tour. He is so well-respected, well-liked by his fellow golfers. It's not a personal thing. He just, to me, Ricky Fowler is the perfect emblem of, like, the Tiger benefit, and these guys are multimillionaires without ever winning a tournament. They can make the best living in the world. The pressure to win is just not the same. It has to come in an internal way that's just different for every guy. And I don't mean to knock Ricky. Like I said, he's fun to watch. The crowds love him. He's great with the kids. I just don't see him as, you know, mentally set up enough to win something like this on Sunday. I've never seen it, so I don't see it. And he's been around a while. I think he's sort of saddled at this point with the best player not to win a major. You know, like you said, I think it's going to take maybe something crazy, like ridiculously bad weather, to knock off all these other guys.
Well, you and I are not totally at odds on this. I said years ago that Ricky Fowler was the Anna Kournikova of golf because everybody liked him and he was nice to look at. But you know, he's won.
He's accomplished more than that.
Yes, I mean, he still hasn't won the major. Okay, very quickly here, 30 seconds. What are they telling you weather wise today?
Yeah, just definitely expecting some bad stuff this morning, a lot of wind. You know, they don't tell you anything at the Masters, so you got to go on the weather report yourself. but yeah, they're going to just, you know, do as much as they can. You know, if it's just a light rain, they'll be out there, but it could make for a very interesting and very long day tomorrow if it's as bad as they're saying.
All right, Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. We will continue following you at Globe Tara, at Globe underscore Tara, excuse me, on Twitter. And, of course, all your columns there from Augusta. Great stuff so far. Tara, great to talk to you. Hope we can do it again.
Same here. Thank you very much. Have a great one.
Thanks, you too. All right, time to win a dozen Callaway Chromasoft golf balls, the ball that changed the ball. This thing is going to change your mind about golf balls. If you're a, you know, a certain type of golf ball player, I don't want to single anybody out, you try this thing, your mind is going to change. The Callaway Chrome Soft. You got a dozen of them right now. If you're caller 10 to the contest line, 617-931-0985.
Stay tuned for more of the Sports Hub Golf Club. You're listening to the Sports Hub Golf Club on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, here's Hardy.
All right, we'll wrap things up here on this Sports Hub Golf Club Masters Saturday edition. We just spoke with Tara Sullivan, it was great, I thought, from the Boston Globe. She's live there at Augusta, and it was funny. She said, when I asked her about the weather, like, what are they telling you? She said, oh, they don't tell us anything. And she's been covering that tournament for years. They're like, no, they don't tell you anything. Here's what I can tell you from what I have found. 100% chance of rain. That is the forecast for Augusta, Georgia today. So thunder, also a possibility, probably some delays. They have not, as of this moment, changed any tee times. Paul Casey, still set to go off at 10 o'clock. And by the way, he is playing with Jeff Knox. Do you know who Jeff Knox is? Jeff Knox has maybe played more Masters than anybody not named Nicholas Palmer or Gary Player. Jeff Knox is a member at Augusta National. And he is what we call a marker. The gentlemen of Augusta do not like when they have an odd number of players in the field after making the cut. He's the guy who goes out there and plays with that odd man out. In this case, Paul Casey. Last guy to make the cut. They're not going to make Paul Casey play alone. That would be poor etiquette. Jeff, we need you to play, buddy. All right. Jeff Knox, hell of a player. Real good player. Has gone out and has beat or almost beaten some very good players just in a friendly keeping score. Neither one of us are obviously going to win this thing. Jeff can't because he's not even in the tournament, and he's always playing with the first guy off on Saturday and Sunday. That guy's not going to win the Masters. He's way too far off the lead. But if you're just keeping score between those two guys, Jeff has given all those other guys can handle. So that's just kind of a fun secondary thing to watch today. In terms of what it means for the rest of the tournament, could see them going to threesomes at some point to maybe make up for some lost time. Could see them starting earlier on Sunday. So just keep an eye on the scheduling and the TV times and all that stuff, because a lot of it is subject to change due to the weather that is expected in Augusta today. I want to say thank you to Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe for joining us here and being a part of the show this morning. Billy Lanny, our producer, Sean Silver on headlines. Is Ryan Johnston lurking about? Is that what's about to happen here next? You'd think the kid would come in and say hello and give a little how's your father. Is he all upset about the wrestling talk that took place in the back room before? Yep. He's still all upset because I'm not all bunged up for WrestleMania tomorrow night like the rest of you guys. So he's going to punish all of us by not coming in for a crossover. Instead, we'll say next Saturday morning we'll do it again, 7 a.m. Sports Hub Golf Club here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Touchdown! Score!
From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston, 98.5 The Sports Hub, the Beasley Media Group Station.